Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
As we learn to let go and let God. How many know it's not easy? We're going to continue in our journey through the book of Philippians this morning. So let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you that your word is living and active. That the word became flesh and dwelt among us. God, we ask that your word would become flesh in our heart, Father, that we would not be forgetful hearers, but that we would be doers of your word because it's just a part of us. So that only comes by the Holy Spirit giving us revelation. God, we can't mentally make this happen. Only as you open the eyes of our heart and give us understanding. So Holy Spirit, I ask you to take the words that are spoken today and penetrate the hearts of your people, that they would get a revelation of how deep and how wide your care is for them, that they can truly surrender, that I can truly surrender and trust your love. Because you which have begun a good work in us, you are faithful to complete it. So I thank you today. Speak through me and enlighten hearts. We ask that in Jesus' name. And all those that agreed said, amen. I want to give you a good report, Karen. You know, last week, if you were here, James told about the diagnosis that Karen had been given up with breast cancer, and last Friday, they went in and did a lumpectomy and removed some lymph nodes, and hallelujah, it looked like the nodes were clear, and they got all the cancer. So we just continue to pray for them and ask God to continue the work that he's begun, because he's so faithful. Let's read in Philippians 2:12. Through 30. This is a long text. I just want to read it. I always want to read through it in concert. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. I thought about that. You know how we can, if someone's in the room that we want to impress, we can control our temper, can't we? We can control those things, but wait till the door gets closed and you're in your house all by yourself. Now that's where the rubber meets the road. That's the real you, you know. So you just got to get honest. But he said, you've not only obeyed me in my presence, but even much more in my absence, he said. Now work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, first off, when you just first read that, you think, wait. It's not by works that any man can boast, and are we supposed to be afraid of God? No, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is there's been a salvation put on the inside of you, and the fear and trembling is with respect and reverence. You know, you think about what God said to Job as he was going through those trials. I mean, we don't even know trials until you read the book of Job. And all of his religious friends were coming and trying to give him the answers and tell him, well, it's God, you know, God's doing this, and, you know, give him this religious pat answer, what Job needs to do. And then God says, where were you when I made the world? To his friends. You know, we have a God that we have to respect and we have to reverence. He molded the world with his hands. He put the stars in the sky with his fingers. We can't even fathom This is the God that we serve, the God that called you out, the God that opened your eyes that you even knew that you needed a Savior. The God that came in when you said, Jesus, I give you my life. And now that it's inside of you. Now he's saying, work that out so your salt doesn't lose its savor. How are you going to let the world see what's on the inside of you? Because you know what? The Bible says this: the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you dare ask or think, according to the power that's at work in you. So how do we get this out? How do we get this operating? That's what he's saying. Work out your own salvation with reverence and awe. Praise the Lord. The world runs by works and performance. We keep score. Whether it's wealth, academic, success, position in society. Therefore, the world is not a safe place. The church is supposed to be a safe place where we can come and we can be real and we can be raw. We don't have to act like we got it all together. But he's saying you work that out. And it goes on to say, with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. Not you doing it all and checking off your list and checking it twice. And he's not trying to find out who's naughty and nice. No. That's not, we have the Santa Claus God many times, the way we see God. Both to will and to do for his good pleasure. The church is to be, you know, the church is a place of transparency, is a very radical concept in what most people have been in churches, where you come in and everything's fine and I'm fine, and then you go out and nobody ever really knows you. But God knows you. And he wants the body of Christ to know you and for you to know the body of Christ. But I think about it, it says, work out your own salvation. No, a workout, you know, that's intentional. I don't, you know, if I'm going to work out, I purpose to, which doesn't happen very much, by the way, obviously. But that's not the point today. The point is that if you're going to work out, you have to be intentional about it, you know. Okay, and you have to be intentional with allowing what's on the inside of you to come out if you're not going to hide your light under a bushel. Which he says, don't do that. Don't hide. The power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. He wants it to be operated. But how do we do this? How do we work out our own salvation? One of them is you have to fear God. You have to reverence him. You have to respect him. You have to take his word serious. You have to attend to the word, just like you attend to workouts. You attend to the word of God. You pay attention to what you're thinking and see if it lines up with the word of God. And when it doesn't, you cast down imaginations. When you walk in the church and you see somebody, you think, what is she wearing that for? Well, you know what? That is a lie. That is judgment. And that is not who you are. So you take that thought and you say, no. I'll know no man after the flesh. Every one of us here are new creatures in Christ. And even though we're very different and we all have different tastes and dislikes, we can love each other. And we just love each other because we're all born of God. But it says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Another thing I thought about intentionality is that, you know, the word of God is like the imperishable seed. Just like when the Holy Spirit came to Mary and told her, okay, the seed of God is going to be placed on the inside of you and you will bear a child and we will call him Jesus. She was a 14-year-old girl. And it's like, how can that be? I've never known a man. But she got to the point where she said, okay, don't you think she was thinking about what are people going to think? actually, back then she could be stoned. Do you think that didn't all run through her mind? The same way when God tells us that he wants us to do something, that all these thoughts, the fear of man, what do they think? I can't do that. So we choose, am I going to obey man and fear him, or am I going to obey God and fear him? When she got to the point where she said, be it done unto me according to your word. Mary said that. At that point, the very seed of God was placed on the inside of her womb. Just like Jesus, he stands at the door of your life and knocks, and he's waiting for you to say, be it done unto me. He's waiting for that open door. You're not a robot. He didn't want you to be a robot. He wants your yieldedness. Submission. Because you trust his love. You need a revelation of how much he loves you. But anyway, that seed was put on the inside of Mary. That seed has been put on the inside of us. Christ in us is our only hope of glory, y'all. Sorry. But that's true. I know the world might have a lot of glory. They might glory in, you know, champion athletes and all that, and that's fine. But Christ in us is our hope of glory. The thing about the seed, and Jesus even said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it'll bring forth much fruit. A lot of us are in the dying process right now. Or God is asking us, okay, would you trust in the Lord with all your heart and not lean into your own understandings? Would you cast your cares on me because I care for you? See, that's a dying process. He's asking you to let go and really trust. You don't have to figure it all out or make it happen yourself anymore. The great I am is in you and with you and around you and for you. But unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, okay, you think about this. Seed goes under and then dirt gets put on top of it. Okay, there's an outer shell. It has to crack open and the life that's within that seed has to come forth. You know, an acorn is an oak tree. Everything for a huge oak is in that acorn. But unless that acorn cracks open and that which on the inside comes out, it'll stay an acorn. So the thing about a seed, it will produce after its kind. It will produce if it's tended to. If the weeds don't come in and choke it out, and again, it's in the right environment that it gets sunshine, it gets rain, it gets what it needs. That seed will produce. Same thing with you. You are to tend to the soil, which is your heart. The parable of the sowers. He says, the sower sows the word, and these are they which come, one dropped on stony ground. And it didn't have root in it, so that the enemy came and took it away. You know, some seed is put in a little deeper ground, but the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things come in and choke out the word, that it becomes unfruitful. The churches are full of people with the seed on the inside of us, even us here, even me. Areas, you know, where the other offense is a biggie. Comparison, competition, bitterness, resentment, wanting control. These things come in and choke out the seed on the inside of you so that it's not worked out. No one else sees it. So if you tend to the garden, see, you know, even in farming, I don't know much about farming, but I could ask Brian or Dick. Don't rocks just kind of all of a sudden just pop out of the ground out of nowhere that you didn't even know were there? That happens to us. You're walking along with the Lord and everything is good. You and your wife or your husband, you're loving each other. And then all of a sudden, here comes a rock. Oh my gosh, I can't believe he did that. What were you thinking? Or your kids or whatever.
A person at work, someone ahead of you is just going really slow, and so you get this enemy mentality all of a sudden kicks into gear. And they become your enemy. Or a situation becomes your enemy, or whatever. So that is purposed by the enemy, because his is divide and conquer. If he can divide you from your union with God and the union with yourself, then he's got you. That's why he said, pray for your enemies. Do good. Don't ever go into enemy mode and think somebody is your enemy, because the enemy just got his way and got you out of union with God and yourself. Does that make sense? So we have to be aware of that. Don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. He uses offense. I think that's his biggest bait. If someone, you get offended, because really it's our own wounds. And it, like, I have this wound here from my childhood or whatever. And if somebody comes along and the way they act or the way they say something triggers this wound that makes me feel like, I really am nobody. I really don't matter. They trigger that. And if we don't recognize that, okay, that's a rock popping up here. What are you going to do with the rocks? You take them out and you throw them as far as they can go. You take it to the cross. You say, Jesus, I thank you. I will love my husband. I will not think those thoughts about them. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, against the truth. Do you hear what you're thinking? That's huge, y'all. You will never be able to work out your salvation until you start paying attention to your thoughts and take hold of those thoughts and replace them with truth. Because most of us have believed a lie all of our life about ourselves and about the world and about other people. So the Word of God brings us back into line with the truth that you are holy. Say, I'm holy. Yeah, it's hard to say that, isn't it? But the truth is, Jesus said that he gave you his holiness and he took your sin. He absorbed all the sin and hell that the world, that Adam and Eve created on himself, and transfer gave us his relationship with God. That's why he prayed in the garden, God, that they would be one even as we are one. I thought about this. Is Jesus is going to the cross. And he prayed more than one time, Father, that they would know that they're one with you and one with each other. Don't you think his prayer before he's getting ready to leave, I mean, it was a priority what he was praying right there. So, of course, the enemy wants to divide the church. I mean, clergy are dropping like flies right now because of the division. The devil's MO with COVID. Got to wear a mask. I don't wear a mask. Be vaccinated. I mean, it's even dividing the church. Y'all, don't be ignorant of the devil's devices and don't major on the minors, but lift up the Lord Jesus and his resurrection that is on the inside of you. And Jesus will be glorified. He said, they'll know we're his disciples because we love one another. We don't major on the minors. We don't nitpick each other. There's no envy or jealousy. Nothing is done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, we all esteem others better than ourselves. This is the heart of God for his church. And it's my heart for this church. That we could all just be real and raw and love each other and support each other, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We all got it. Amen. So I got way off here. But it is hot in here, y'all. So The seed will produce if you get tend to the soil and the elements, y'all. That's why we need to come together. We need to worship God together. You're getting in the environment. It's the sunshine. It's the rain. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. The seed needs that to grow and produce. And even now with COVID, people, it's okay now. It's so easy just to stay home and watch church on Facebook. It's not the same, y'all. If you want your seed to produce 30, 60, 100 fold, you have to tend to the ground and the elements. The seed will produce. Apple trees do not strain to produce apples. The elements are right. Just fertilize it. You keep it seeded. It will produce apples, and the fruit will be abundant. That's what the Bible says about a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. What? He pays attention to his thoughts. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly or the way of the sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in this law does he meditate day and night. He will be like a tree that's planted by rivers of living water. And whatever he does will prosper. His fruit will be abundant. And people around will come and I will get under the shade of the tree. And they'll pick the fruit and they'll be nourished. And their life will be changed. And that is what the goal of God is. The Christ in us would come forth, and our part to play in that is work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is no laughing matter, y'all, because one day we will stand before him and give an account what we did with that which he gave us. And I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So it's my job to abide in him. It's my job to tend to the ground when the rocks pop up, to take them and take it to the cross. It's my job to not let the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things come in and choke out the most important thing in this life. And that is what's been placed on the inside of us. I'm sorry, I'm so emotional, you guys. See, that's why I have men come up here too, you know. Seriously, I did not even tend to go here, y'all. So God has placed within you a seed. What are you doing with your ground? What are you doing to make sure that you're getting the sunshine and the rain and what you need for that seed to grow? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Thank you, William. And be careful how you build on the foundation. I just thought about the scripture that he said, you know, one day we'll stand before God and then the fire will come and some things will be burned up, wood, hay, stubble. Those things that we did because we wanted to look real good. Those things that we did just because we felt pressure from other people. We didn't really want to do it. We just did it because, well, our reputation is at hand. You know, I thought about this. Adam and Eve chose to be like God. Sin entered the world. They chose that lie that you'll be like God if you partake in the Garden of Eden. Jesus was God, and he made himself nothing and put on himself. He became a servant. The creator of the world, who put the stars in the sky, became a human being so he could walk on this earth and show us what it looks like to be in human form and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Of course, he had every gift. We don't. We're a body. That's why we need each other. He put the gifts as the body that every joint would supply. Some of you are a hand, some of you are a foot, some of you are a head, some of you are a... No, he's the head. Nobody's the head. Some of you are an eye. Some of you are a liver. Some of you are the spleen. But you know what God said about the parts of the body? He says, those which you give less honor to, yeah, this position, you know, it gets honor from people. You know, when you get up here and, you know, I always say, you know what? Don't put me on a pedestal because I might believe it. And that's my downfall, to think that I'm anybody more special than any of you. We are all on level ground at the foot of the cross. That's why nothing is done through strife or vainglory in this church. We're all on level ground. But God said he gives more abundant honor to those parts which seem less honorable. Wow. I love that about God. That he chose those, even when Jesus went to choose his disciples. Tax collector. Zacchaeus. Jesus chose, no, Zacchaeus was a disciple, but Jesus went to those where he saw their heart, and maybe on the outside they didn't look very good. And the Pharisees were all about this. And look how he talked to the Pharisees. Not that you can't look good, I'm not saying that. I mean, you know, if I didn't put some makeup on and do a little bit, you all wouldn't want to see me. But what I'm saying, it's the heart, just like my husband said about the, God doesn't need your money. He wants our hearts. He wants to be our treasure. So, all right, let's see if we can get back to this somehow. So it's God working in you. You have to work it out how? You have to be intentional. You have to pay attention to your thoughts. You have to pay attention to what comes out of your mouth. The word is nigh thee in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Jesus said, it's not what goes in the mouth that defiles a man. It's what comes out of the man. And if you don't pay attention to what's coming out of your mouth or out of your thoughts, then you're defiling yourself. And what do? We all have garbage that'll come out. And it's like, oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I go to him, I'm sorry, Steve. I'm sorry. I disrespected you like that. I mean, that's humble. That's tending to your ground. When you offend someone and you know it, you know, you're honest. Can I hear an amen for honesty? Now, I'm not talking about brutal honesty. I mean, you got to be kind. You got to think about it. You know, if you see a man who is sinning, it says, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, lest you also be tempted. When you go and you know what? This is what the body of Christ is supposed to do. We look out for each other. Like Cain and Abel, he said, am I my brother's keeper? Well, yes, we are. The hand cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. You see someone in the church going down the wrong way and your heart is right toward them. Usually you just judge them and you go tell your sister and brother, oh, but you make it about the prayer meeting. We need to pray for because I saw. I hate that too. Really, prayer meetings are not gossip centers where you talk about everybody else who needs prayer, but you don't, like the Pharisees say, thank you, God, that I'm not like them. Watch out for that heart. We all got it. All of us have the publican, which he said, oh, woe is me, and the Pharisee in us. And it can pop up any time, but you have to be aware to tend to your seed. And when that Pharisee pops up, you say, no, in the name of Jesus, I've been crucified. It's no longer I who live. I refuse. I'm not anybody's judge. God, I just pray you bless that person. Watch your thoughts. I know that's like swimming upstream. When you first start paying attention to your thoughts, because you just thought your thoughts were you. That's who you were. That's all you've ever thought about. But the truth is, once you let the word of God divide your soul and your spirit, it says it's living and inactive and it's sharper than a two-edged sword that will divide your soul, which is your mind, will, and your emotions, and your spirit, which is your new creation. The word of God will divide that. So all of a sudden you see, oh, wait. That isn't true. You see that you are not your thoughts. And you pay attention to where lies have been affecting to what you believe. This is a big job, y'all. You have to be intentional about this. But how important is it for you the day you stand before him to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? It's a daily, "God, today I surrender my heart, my thoughts, my life to you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O strength and my redeemer." And I give you permission, Holy Spirit, to arrest me in my thinking. To arrest me when something's starting to come out of my mouth, that I'll go to the cross and I'll repent. And I'll let the blood of Jesus cleanse me from all my sin, even the rocks that are down there that haven't popped up yet. That's the power in the blood of Jesus. Yes. According to the power that's at work in you. Are you working that power? One of the biggest ways you work that power is repentance, y'all. Is you just pay attention to what's going on in your heart and in your thoughts, and you take it to the cross, and you ask forgiveness, and you cry out to God, "I don't want to be this way. God, let me help me shake these grave clothes off." Just like Lazarus, he came out of the tomb, and he was alive, but he was wrapped in grave clothes. That's all of us when we come to Christ. We're alive on the inside, but we're wrapped in grave clothes. And Jesus said to those around Lazarus, "You loose some and let him go." Body ministry. When you see your brother overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, not you which are judgmental, you which are critical. No, doesn't say that. You which are spiritual, you go to them and you restore them in a spirit of meekness, realizing, but for the grace of God, there go I. You know, I never met a man that I despise when I realize what's in me apart from the grace of God. I am capable of the most horrendous sin. How could I ever judge somebody else? But see, most of us don't think that. I would never do that. Oh, yeah? God knows. I mean, we can mask it, we can pretend, but if you pay attention, that's what Jeremiah said, the heart is wicked. That's why Jesus had to come and give us a new heart. He took out that stony heart and he gave us a heart of flesh. And he put his law in our heart. You know, you think about the Ten Commandments, that's just humanitarian. To not kill, steal, you know, commit adultery. I mean, that stuff is not, that's not like, that's just being human, just doing the right thing as a human. Because I keep all the commandments. Jesus said, "Okay, get rid of all those. I give you one new commandment I give. You love one another as I have loved you." Woo! We can't do that without the Holy Spirit. Without dying to our flesh, to our opinion, to our pride, then and only then can we tap into the power that's within you and let it work. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to do. Oh, my goodness, it's 1:45. I haven't even gotten in this. Okay, we're going to go to the next verse, and then we're going to close. You guys got it hot off the press today. Goes on to say, how we work out the salvation, do all things without complaining and disputing. Ouch. I have to be really honest with you guys. Because the last few weeks, you know, first, my husband, I got this terrible cold, you know, just worked through it. Then Steve got a terrible cold. But when Steve gets sick, it's different than when I get sick. Nothing against Steve. Or, you know, I just keep going. I just push through. I don't even think about staying in bed. I don't even think about laying around. I mean, maybe I should. I'm not saying that's good. That's probably some of my old performance thing. I got too much to do. I can't sit here. I can't be sick. I mean, as a mom, I had six children. You can't be sick. They don't stop for a day just to let you be sick. So maybe some of it is I just learned, so anyway, Steve was really sick, though. He was bad cold. He didn't have COVID. We got the test and all that, so it's okay. And he was coughing so much that he threw a vertebra out and it pinching a nerve, his ulnar nerve. I know that because I was a massage therapist. But down his arm. So he can't do anything. The best feels when he has his arm up like this, pressing on the C5. See, that's where it is, in between C5 and T1. So most of the time, if he comes down, it starts hurting again. So poor Steve's sitting around going like this. I mean, you're kind of stuck when you got to go like this all the time. So here I was, oh my gosh, griping and complaining. That's terrible. I mean, God forgive me. Do all things without griping and disputing or complaining. Why? Here he goes. We're working out the salvation. That you may become blameless. Salt has not lost its saltiness. And harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You want to shine as a light in the world? We got to pay attention to our griping and complaining. It starts in our thinking, y'all. This week, attend to your thoughts. Bring them to the cross. It's going to seem overwhelming at times. Just like when you try to get real quiet and quiet your mind and just go inside to the kingdom of God that's within you. It's like it seems impossible. Your mind is so busy. So we can, with practice, learn how to quiet our mind and listen to the Spirit of God on the inside of you, because he's not in the thunder. He's not in the loud rumbling. He's in the still, small voice. That you'll miss it if you don't learn how to fine-tune. That voice, first of all, will say, I love you. You are mine. You're safe. And if any time you start hearing, what'd you do that for? That's not God. He knows why and what you do stuff. You know, sometimes we read the Bible through a filter of shame. And so everything condemns us. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You have to get to the place where you love and accept yourself with all of your weaknesses, because God loves and accepts you with all of it. Because if we don't, we transfer that stuff. The stuff I cannot tolerate about me, I won't be able to tolerate in you. I won't see it in me, but I'll see it in you. It's true. The things in your kids that you can't stand about yourself, but you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to show you and get you cannot stand it in them. Pay attention, y'all. So, Father, I thank you today for your word. Father, I want to attend to your word. I want the seed that's on the inside of me to bring forth fruit like that tree that's planted by rivers, God. I want to be so fruitful, Jesus, and I know I can't do it. I just have to abide in you and let your word abide in me. You made it so easy, but so hard. Because we're used to having to perform. And, oh God, give us the balance of just letting go and listening and just doing what you say. And you will walk out, God, that perfect plan that you ordained before the foundation of the world, God. There was a path that that we should walk. We want to walk that path, God, and it's only by your grace. It's only by your Spirit that we can yield. So, God, I just ask that you use this body here even to help me remove my grave clothes, God. We're all on level ground. Father, if this church sees things in me that I need to look at, I'm so open, God. I need this body as much as they need me. So we thank you, you're truly making us one. And we love you for that, that you're answering the prayer of Jesus, that we would be one, even as Jesus and the Father were one. So, Father, thank you. Continue this work. Work this in the homes behind closed doors with the marriages, God. That husbands and wives wouldn't be too proud and too armored up, that they couldn't put the armor down and be real and raw. Thank you what you're doing, God. We give you praise and glory and honor for this week. I ask you to keep all of these people in your protection, God. I plead the blood of Jesus. I say, Satan, you have nothing in them. Surely, God, you deliver them from the noisome pestilence and the swiftly spreading disease. The angels will pick them up lest they dash their foot against a stone, God. With long life, you will satisfy us, God. And you will show us your salvation. You will show us your delivering power. As we walk in this world, a light shining in a wicked and perverse generation. Use us. And all those that agree said, amen and amen. And I love you all. And if you need prayer this morning, please don't leave without getting prayer. You need someone to help get those grave clothes off. That's what prayer's about. I love you all. Blessed. Be blessed. Have a great day. So good to have Hillary and Chris with us today. They moved far away, but they're back. Come back again. I know, but 2 hours is a long time. We love you all. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening and have a good day.